We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tom Jones to start this edition of Overtime on Thursday, May 28th. You know, I saw Tom Jones in concert at the Family Arena maybe 12 years ago, and he was fantastic. I giggled through the entire thing. I don't know why. I just giggled. He's this old guy doing high kicks. He was awesome. Anyway.
Very confusing for the person sitting next to you.
Why is she laughing at him? I don't know. I just started giggling. I couldn't stop. Hi, Amy Marks Kors.
Hello, Debbie Monterey. For everyone following along, I did just check off a box on Roger Brand Bingo, and it was the box that said 14 or more letters of the alphabet in one traffic cast. And that's the one I checked off. I think he said about 14 to 16 letters.
Oh, my goodness.
That traffic report.
Wow, I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking about Tom Jones. Hi, Megan McBride.
Good morning.
Megan McBride of Show Me Victories is joining us. Good to have you back on the show.
I am happy to be back with you ladies. How exciting.
I know, this is fun. Hey, I was a little disappointed. I guess not hugely disappointed, because it was expected as we were going through the morning that there would be storms on the East Coast. I know Tropical Storm Bertha was barreling down on South Carolina, so it was probably not going to happen. But we were looking forward to the SpaceX rocket launch. The beginning of NASA's next chapter of space exploration may have to wait until this weekend if the weather cooperates. It was postponed because of storms around the Kennedy Space Center. And of course, one of the exciting things about the launch is Bob and Doug McKenzie are the astronauts. Oh, no, it's just Bob and Doug. And Bob Behnken is a St. Louis area native. So I didn't ask you about this yesterday, Amy. So were you following this at all? Excited about it? It's really, we haven't had a whole lot of manned rockets lately.
Right. No, we haven't. We haven't had humans launch into space from American soil since 2011. And I think it got buried more than it should have amid the coronavirus headlines. And I had two angles from which I was looking at this issue. One, I love it. I love the word swashbuckling, and I just think that's so apropos for space exploration and ambition. And when so much of our national identity has been suspended, we have this. We're going to launch Americans into space from American soil, and it's Tom Wolfe and the right stuff and the braggadocio, and I love it. The other side of me is looking around at the economic crisis we're in and the virus. And I wondered for a brief moment, is this an extraordinary or inappropriate extravagance at this time, right? I thought, is this what we're focusing on when people can't even visit their parents? And as I worked that through in my brain, and then the launch was canceled, I was overwhelmed with disappointment. I think this is a great thing. I was looking forward to it. And it'll be must-watch TV this weekend, I think, for a lot of Americans.
So the full range of emotions for Amy Marks scores yesterday. How about you, Megan?
I have to tell you, I did not go through quite as many feelings about it. Also, frankly, kind of forgot about it. I'm still a little bit in like, oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Today's Thursday. Okay. You know, so I hadn't quite placed it until my husband mentioned. He's like, oh, what a bummer. It got postponed. I was like, oh, okay. Yes. Which really just led me to go, you know, re-Google it, look into it, see what it's all about. But I agree. I think it's exciting. I think people need something inspiring to look forward to. you know, anything that's great television that is not the news, I am for. So I think it's excellent. I'll be looking forward to watching it on Saturday.
Well, Chris Myhill mentioned here the new uniforms, which I hadn't seen, so I had to Google them, of course. And if I'm looking at the right images, I love them because they're usually when we see uniforms of astronauts, they're big, bulky things. They look like the Michelin men waddling around. But these are more like what you'd see on a TV show about space exploration. I would actually wear that to work.
Well, it makes sense. Could you imagine, you know, already being launched into space and then being like uncomfortable and hot and not being able to like bend your elbow, you know? So I think it's about time someone figured out how to put these guys in something that looks a little more comfortable and a little easier to maneuver.
So I'm okay. They're streamlined. They struck me as a prototype, and they kind of, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it kind of reminded me as if I had, if someone said, Amy, you've got to make something that looks like an astronaut, but you can only use what you have lying around your house, it would look like that. They're just the black boots, and, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a stumpy effect. I am so proud of the space program, and I love it. Perhaps it's just because it's so simplified. I would have been like, perhaps we need more patches. Can we add some more patches? Maybe, you know, just to spruce it up a little bit. But, yeah, they're different.
Okay, the three of us are dressing up as SpaceX astronauts for Halloween, okay? Deal?
Only what you have already in your home.
I do like the boots. By the way, as far as Elon Musk goes, I go back and forth on Elon Musk. I think he's probably a genius, and sometimes I think you are such a freak, and other times I'm like, wow, he's really a genius. I don't know. Mixed feelings about Elon.
It goes hand in hand.
I guess so.
It's the first thing I thought about whenever my husband reminded me about SpaceX. I was like, oh gosh, that's Elon stuff. He's a little bit, you know, he just can say things that are very off-putting. And then, you know, he had that child and you can't even say its name. It's just a series of characters, which I think is maybe even against California law where the child was born. They might have some issues. So yeah, he definitely puts an interesting spin on the discussion of, you know, the rebirth of America in space.
All right. Well, maybe we can tweet about it, or maybe not. That'll be our next topic when we return for overtime. It is 8:40 at KMOX. It is 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Amy Marks-Kors and Megan McBride of Show Me Victories. And we did discuss this topic a bit yesterday because President Trump is mad at Twitter for fact-checking him. They did not take any of his tweets down. They just put a little fact-check underneath something about mail-in voting and said, for the facts on mail-in voting, click here for these different resources. And the president said that social media is trying to silence conservative voices, and he is now preparing to sign an executive order today that could roll back the immunity tech giants have for the content on their sites. And the directive chiefly seeks to embolden federal regulators to rethink a portion of the law known as Section 230, which spares tech companies from being held liable for the comments, videos, and other content posted by users on their platforms. Megan, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on this order and the president saying that, I'm sure it's especially Twitter, is silencing conservative voices?
Well, I mean, I think this was bound to come. I mean, when you have a president who basically only uses one platform to communicate, doesn't seem to utilize the more traditional platforms of the office, and on the opposite side of, you know, him in general, not just conservative or liberal, we have an entire movement to talk about, you know, being careful about what is being put onto social media platforms as far as misinformation, with the abundance of bots, what happened in the 2016 election. I just think this was going to come to a head. And I don't think this is a good look for the president. One, a lot of people, you know, even who support him, say they wish that he would, you know, alter his behavior on Twitter, maybe not say the things that he does say on Twitter, ease off of that. So this is not something that outside of a handful of, you know, really hardcore supporters, people really like about his personality anyways. A lot of people wish he would calm it down. So I think this is going to escalate it. He's clearly angry, and he doesn't usually put his best foot forward when he gets very angry. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
And Twitter's response to President Trump was not censorship. The great sensorial regimes do not have a click here to learn more link when they're trying to block freedom of speech, right, or freedom of the press. So it wasn't censorship. It was the Twitter fact check. But I think this is a misguided attempt on the president's part. I think Josh Hawley is misguided in his legislation in order to rein in these tech companies and to rethink Section 230, because you don't want more government oversight of private platforms determining what's showing bias and what's not. I hope they do realize that while this may seem like a good idea, while Trump is in charge, or maybe while conservatives have this power, you know it's going to swing the other way. The Trump era will end. You don't want the government telling private companies what shows bias and what doesn't. I think this is very dangerous territory.
Well, another thing that we are apparently still going to revisit is privatizing the airport, St. Louis Lambert International Airport. It was an issue that Mayor Crewson dropped about 6 months ago. The Carpenters Union and the city NAACP are hoping to collect enough signatures to get an airport lease on the November ballot. NAACP President Adolphus Pruitt says the new plan would require a minimum of $1.7 billion, a take from any lease, which would go to retire the airport's debt, go to job training, renovating vacant buildings, streets, and more. Megan, let's start with you. Would you, first of all, do you think they can get this on the November ballot? Do you think it's a good idea in being, we're both city residents? Would you vote for it?
Well, I think that, you know, I've only read the one article that I think everyone has read about this so far, which was the one that came out yesterday, included that information about requiring a minimum automatically going to a vote of a people. My gut take on it was, wow, this really alleviates a lot of the concerns that people had up front with the previous proposal, right? It really takes away a lot of the stuff that made folks nervous that people questioned. So I'm definitely interested and eager to see what the details look like this as it moves forward. You know, gathering signatures is always tricky, and it sounds like they're really putting some measures into place to be safe and be able to do that with this process. So it's definitely going to be interesting to watch. And, you know, I think as we really come to terms with the financial impact that this virus is going to have, not just on families and businesses, but on our governments, I think people are definitely going to be more intrigued in some options to replenish the city's budget and kind of help improve lives. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this thing moves forward.
Yeah, it's definitely not unprecedented to privatize an airport, but the devil is in the details, and we would need to see the details of how this is going to play out, how everything will be partitioned. And transparency has not been the strength of St. Louis City, St. Louis County in this whole process.
All right. Would you go to Vegas? We're going to ask that question when we return on round three of OT here on The Voice of St. Louis with Amy Mark Scores and Megan McBride. It's 8:48.
Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, little Elvis. We've had all the good crooners here this morning. 8:51 right now. Of course, we're going to talk about Las Vegas because we have Amy Mark Scores with us, Megan McBride of Show Me Victories. And of all the videos that we've seen over the last, like, 3 months during this lockdown, for me, one of the most startling is to see Las Vegas completely quiet, because that is one place that's never quiet. It's always lit up. There's people everywhere. It's so busy. And to just see it completely dark with no one on the streets is really odd. They're trying to rev things back up in Las Vegas, and a downtown casino owner wants to bus in business in the form of 1,000 free flights. It really isn't that expensive to fly to Vegas, actually. But anyway, Derek Stevens, who owns two casinos that'll be opening on June 4th, is offering free fares for more than 20 major U.S. cities under a Keep America Flying promotion. Amy Mark Scores, would you go to Vegas if you got a free flight?
Well, see, the thing is, I'm not a big Vegas person, although I do have this strange curiosity to see Wayne Newton, because I can never remember if he's alive or not. And I think there would be something interesting in just flying to Vegas just to see Wayne Newton. Now, here's what I would do if someone forced me on that plane. And I think it might be fraud. I would fly to Vegas and then drive the 2.5 hours to Zion National Park or the 4.5 hours to the Grand Canyon. So I'd get to Vegas, right, and then leapfrog from there to a national park. I don't think I'm ready to go to the casinos. I hope other people are, though. Like, if you feel good about it, I support you 100%. Go back to Vegas, light up the strip, win yourself some money.
Megan?
I do love Vegas, but I am not quite ready to be hopping on an airplane or touching a bunch of machines that everybody else has been touching in between, you know, slurping a drink and eating their food. So I think it's great if other folks are ready. I'm not there. I do love Vegas, and Amy, I think you should go. Maybe you do a few hours on Vegas Strip and then hit up a national park whenever you're ready.
You know,
it is a good time.
To Megan's point, I didn't think I would like Vegas because I don't gamble. I'm not like religiously opposed to it or anything. I just don't think it's fun. I don't enjoy it.
Right.
But we spent, we did a 4-day trip to Vegas and we stayed at the Golden Nugget and I did not gamble once. I only walked through a casino to get out into Fremont Street. But there's so many other things to do and there's, you know, so many other great activities that don't involve gambling that we had a blast. So, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to get on a plane yet either. All right, one more topic here before we have to go. This is another St. Louis City issue, and I think this is really interesting because it was in 2012 that city voters voted to cut the Board of Aldermen in half. So to go from 28 aldermen to 14 by 2022, so that's just 2 years away. But now this issue may come up on the ballot again, and we'll be asked. This is kind of like what the state of Missouri does a lot. Like, we know that you voted for this, but we're just going to take another run at it. And Michael Butler, who used to be a state representative, actually, he says that a smaller board would weaken African-American representation. They want this issue back on the November ballot. Megan, what's your take on this whole situation?
Yeah, I have very strong feelings on this one, and I really like Michael Butler, but I just completely disagree with him on this issue. Number one, way back, you know, what, in 2012, a whole few years ago when folks voted on this, more people voted on this in favor of reducing it than almost anything else similar to it that's been on the ballot. Well, that's a citywide ballot initiative. More people voted in favor of reducing the Board of Aldermen than actual votes many individuals who serve on the Board of Aldermen received. Okay, so I think it's kind of silly to act like people didn't know what they were doing. And I also don't think it's true that this would underrepresent African Americans. It's all about the process. It's about how you draw the lines. It's about how you manage it, which they have not done. They didn't plan. They've waited till the last minute. They don't have a good strategy in place for how to move forward. And that's why I think people are panicking. So I hope instead of going back to the voters, which I think they're going to be disappointed with the outcome, that they would sit down and really figure out how do we move forward. Over 60% of the voters wanted this. Now let's do it correctly.
You voted for it. You stick with it. Because whenever you ask a question again, a follow-up, it makes you doubt yourself. Whenever I used to work at Fleet Feet and I'd clock out, I wanted to clock out. I know I wanted to leave the store. And then I would click on the clock out button and it would say, are you sure you want to clock out? And I was like, I don't know. Is there a reason why I shouldn't? So yeah, don't go back and revisit a vote.
All right, we'll take this out with a little Wayne Newton for Amy Mark Scores. Megan McBride of Show Me Victories, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, happy to see you guys.
Or at least talk to us, but maybe we'll see you someday. But here is what's on tap, Amy, after news at 9.
Yeah, we've got Major Garrett, Sarah Isger will be joining us from the Dispatch, and David French to talk Trump and the evangelical vote.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.